Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into a world where ancient wisdom meets modern mysticism. Introducing the Gnostic Tarot, a powerful fusion of esoteric art and Gnostic themes designed for those who seek the ultimate gnosis. This mesmerizing deck, rich in symbolism, draws from the profound teachings of Gnosticism, serving as an ideal companion for meditation, reflection, and the exploration of spiritual realms. Whether you are a seasoned tarot enthusiast or new to the practice, the Gnostic Tarot caters to all, offering a portal to ancient wisdom and a tool for uncovering the hidden truths in your mystical journey. Unveil the mysteries, embrace the wisdom. The Gnostic Tarot is a timeless companion for your spiritual odyssey. Take a journey with Gnostic luminaries and learn their stories in a visually stunning manner. From Sophia to the Gnostic Christ, their journey is your self-discovery. Choose from the basic deck or the deluxe version, which includes a beautifully crafted journey book and a magnetic storage box, ensuring that your Gnostic Tarot remains a treasured companion on your spiritual quest. The Gnostic Tarot is an original and collaborative effort between Miguel Connor of Aeon by Gnostic Radio and Matthew Schmitz of Altrusian Grace Media. Visit our website to embark on your journey today. Syncrasis Publishing, where ancient wisdom and modern mysticism converge.
Heresy shouldn't be this much fun, but it is, and it just is, especially when you arrive to Aeon Byte here in the desert of the real and the virtual Alexandria. Welcome, everybody, and I hope everybody's having a good Mercury day. My name is Miguel Connor, and as always, I am your psychopomp through these ancient mysteries and to bring them to a modern meaning. But you are the final authority because we are running with those searching for the truth and avoiding those who have found them. And we are writing our own gospel and living our own myth. And it's up to you. You are the final authority at the end of the day. We are here just to give you that gnosis for you to do what you want, what thou will, as they say in Thelemic circles. So I'm very excited about this show, about a tradition that I still consider myself a novice. I do the I Ching, I do some of the practices, but obviously I am still on the beginning journey. And of course, other traditions just take up more of my time, but it's certainly been rewarding. And that is Taoism. And with us, I'm very excited to welcome our guest, Sifu Bogi. Sifu, how are you?
I'm good. I'm well. Thank you very much. And how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very good. And thanks for joining us. And with us, too, it's always a pleasure, as Vance has his Clark Kent job today, to have with us Graham Pong. Graham, how are you doing today?
Very good, very good. Looking forward to seeing some insight into the Tao. It's much like the stock market. Sometimes you're on a yin cycle, sometimes you're on a yang.
Well put. Good comparison. Yeah, yeah. Or the Frank Sinatra song about life. I've been down and out and over and out, and then the next thing you're up, and that's it. Isn't that right, Sifu? You just life is life, and you just take it as it comes.
Yeah, very much the yin. I haven't got one with me, unfortunately, but the yin yang symbol, as most people call it, yin yang, the white and black fish, the two little dots, Its actual name is Tai Chi because it has yin and yang, the light and the dark, the night and the day, the film, the female and the male, but it rotates. And the whole point is like, just like in a day, you get the dawn, you get the day, goes into the afternoon, get into the evening, the dusk and into the evening. And that's both the yin and the yang. And everything just phases. Everything, you know, in the tarot, you have the Wheel of Fortune, which is the very similar thing. It's that rotation. It's always rotating. But the thing of the two little dots is even in the mid-afternoon sun, you'll find shadows, which is the yin. In the middle of the night, you'll find the moon or a light or firefly or a torch, which is the yang. So you always find one in the other, and it's always flowing through. And any true Taoist would say that there is no good or bad. It just is. It's just an ever-going process. And also, they would also say, hey, what do I know?
Why are you asking me these things? Well, let's before we get deeper into Taoism and how it can work, tell us a little bit about your origin, your superhero origin story. How did you get involved, or how did these things find you, or how did you find them?
Well, I started off. For me, it started off when I was around about 11 years old, and I've always seeing interesting things, or I remember being a kid and I later knew as like past life memories. I remember stuff and I remembered things. I'm a 70s kid, so it was not necessarily things you talk about, especially my mum is very Catholic, was brought up in a Catholic household. You don't talk about that sort of stuff. And with my mum especially, if you talk about that stuff, you know, you'd be going to the doctors because there's something wrong. So I learned very quickly. I learned to keep it to myself. But with, like, growing up, I was always the different one. I was always not normal. Though normal is just the average or weird. But I was always the weirder weird. And I used to get beaten up as a kid. And I then, my dad, encouraged or decided to put me into martial arts, and a particular martial art that I did had meditation in it, and I loved meditation. I loved, you know, the fighting side I wasn't that fussed about, but it was the meditation that I was really pulled into. And in that martial art, they had judicators who would like belt test you, you know, or grade you, do the gradings. And what happened was that one of the judicators was a Taoist, was both a Taoist and a Buddhist. And he sort of like came along and he sort of sensed there was something in me that interested him. And he went to my parents and he sort of said, to my dad, and he sort of said, I'd be very interested in teaching your son. What my dad didn't know, and then wouldn't know until like years later, that this guy, this Chinese guy, he normally charged £500 an hour, and so he was, you know, but he would recruit certain people, or he would look for certain people, and he actually said to me, which I never actually told my dad, he actually said to me at the time, he says, I look into your eyes, and you have been my teacher before, and I have been your teacher before, or Sifu, and it's my turn to be Sifu again. Now, for a lot of people, that you'd be, what? What the frick are you talking about? But for me, it's like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, yeah, come on, let's go. And I sort of fell into that journey that way. And the Tao means the way, the path, the balance, because every Chinese word has at least three meanings. Some have even more than that. So it gets very interesting with Chinese words, because you put three together and you've got 15 different meanings. But the whole point of the Tao is an individual path. So there are different types of Tao. There are different ways, you know. And so the way that it's been taught in the West is very theoretical. It's very, you know, it's this and this, and it's a little bit more than a little bit mystical, a little bit like, well, what are you saying? You know, it's a little bit nondescript. But the Taoism I was taught was far more practical and when you look at ancient cultures, you go to the Native American Indians, you go to different cultures, the Aborigines in Australia, and you look at their culture and they have their Tao. They flow with their nature, with their way. And the biggest part that was brought to me was that it's about balancing according to nature. But in the West, we think of the word balance. A lot of people think of scales, and those scales being very going still. In the East, that's considered stagnation. The balance is more like a wave, and it has an equal down to the equal up. And so the wave is fluid. And the Tai Chi symbol, if you can think of that Tai Chi symbol, you turn it on its side, it becomes a wave. It is actually a wave. And so it's this idea that your breath in should be the same as your breath out, whether you have a short breath or a fast breath. When you balance those breaths, you get that equilibrium. So it's understanding even words and certain meanings in a different way, or at least for me. And it started from there. And then my teachers were very much, before you can learn to kill, you must learn to heal, which I thought still think is corny, but it's true, but it's corny. And so they taught me the healing arts and they taught me certain things. And that was, like I said, from 12 onwards, I got up to 16 and I wanted to be a baker. And they actually turned around and go, "Ah, baker, they make excellent masseuse, excellent at massage, kneading the bread, you know, the dough." So over the practice, I learned that everything has its Tao, everything has its way. And everything, you know, where some people may not see the connection between baking and massage, there's always a connection. You can always find, you know, understanding a dancer makes a good martial artist, you know, a good fighter, because they've got the training, they've got the balance, they're used to practice something over and over again. And so everything actually flows into each other. And even in our lives, it's only when we pause and have a look back, even the crap things that happened in your past, suddenly, well, that led to this, you know, the down led to the up. So there is, hence, I'll always say, there is no good or bad, just is. And it's interesting. I was just going to finish off by saying, it's interesting that just a few years ago, well, 10 years ago, if I said that, people would say, "Oh, but what about this? And what about that? And what about the evil of the world?" But now people go, "Well, actually, I sort of get that." So things are changing. Things are evolving because the Taoist viewpoint is actually becoming more like common sense.
Oh, for sure. And yes, like you said, there's different forms of Taoism. There's a shamanistic Taoism in the East, right? Very experiential, very deal with the spirit world. I like that one because it's more, a little bit more heavy metal, punk.
Well, it's one of the ones I practice. And heavy metal. You know, in heavy metal, there are different styles within heavy metal, you know, different forms. And that's the same. Even within the shamanism, there's a particular type, which I practice, called Dragon Dog. And in the Forbidden Temple, there's these creatures we see. Or if you ever go to Chinese New Year Festival, you get the dragon, and then you get what's called the lion dance. Well, it's not actually a lion. It's actually a dragon. But in the East, in China, dragons don't have scales. They have fur and they have feathers. So this, what they called the lion, was actually a dragon's head in a dog's body. And the dragon dogs, they actually look after, under one of their paws is the flower life, the 64 circles, which is actually interconnected. You mentioned the I Ching. That's actually interconnected within the I Ching. And the I Ching is actually one of the things that freaked out the physicists is that when they were shown the I Ching markings, that is the codons of the human DNA in order. That the I Ching, the 64 I Ching, is actually said to be the 64 codons of the human DNA. So it's like, hold up, this is at least 2,000 years old. Some people say a lot older than that. And how does it represent the human DNA? How did that happen? So everything's all interconnected. But the dragon dog shaman or the shaman stuff, yeah, it's very much into the energy. Well, it's very much into the science of it. You know, it's sort of like a spiritual scientist, because they see things of energy and they see things a certain way. And they predicted stuff that only just now are starting to appear within science, you know, like quantum physics and the ancient knowledge, and especially Taoism, is actually very, very similar.
I would agree. It is scientific. I mean, there is that story, Sifu, about Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz. He's, the inventor of calculus. And it was said that he met the Jesuit priest that brought him the I Ching. And suddenly the light went off. He's like, aha, you know, because the I Ching is, you could say today in a very popular time of simulation, is a very code that creates and sustains existence, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's that interesting word, like you say about, or like the idea of the simulation. There's a lot of scientists that talk about the simulation. And it's interesting that in science, they think, well, you know, we could live in the matrix, we could live in a simulation because we're used to computers. But right. You go back to ancient knowledge, they talk about we live in a dream within the dream. You know, our reality is a dream, because that was their understanding. You know, is that they didn't see it, they didn't necessarily have computers, or if they did, they weren't telling us. But
alien overlords wouldn't allow us to tell them. Let's get conspiratorial.
Well, I say, you know, when you talk about, I love a good conspiracy, because most of them aren't conspiracies, they're facts. But, you know, like I say, when you've got a thing that's over 2,000 years old, the I Ching, and these 64 markings are, like you say, it's very much like computer language, but it's also very, you know, it's also meant to be the code onto the DNA. Somebody put those 64 markings into computer and twisted them around each other, and it created the Metatron's cube. Now, you could say, well, that was just like, oh, they just, that was a bit, you know, manipulation. Well, I'd seen it, and it looked pretty good. So, you know, who knows? But the whole idea is there's so much mystery in the past that's still a mystery, and we try to poo-poo it. And there's so much knowledge from the past that we try to say we're more clever now than we were then. It's like, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Yes, and to settle the argument, the Beatles wrote about it, right? When I'm 64. That should settle the I Ching argument.
Indeed. Well, it goes into the thing of eights. It's eight eights, and eight in Chinese numerology is the dragon energy, and it's all about the dragon. And again, going back to like in shamanism, you've got the dragon dogs and you've got the dragon shaman as well. And the interesting thing with the dragon, so in like I'm obviously in the UK. The UK, there's a big thing about ley lines. We've got lots of churches sitting on top of ley lines, and ley lines all over the world. But in China, ley line is dragon line. It's the dragon lines. And the interesting thing in the UK, there are stories about Merlin, and Merlin, he used the dragons, and he would talk about the dragons that followed the lines in the earth. So even he was sort of mentioning it. And within one thing I learned about 10 years ago, I became very close friends with some pagan friends. And I started studying paganism because everything, I always studied new stuff. And when I looked at the pagan stuff, there was actually very close similarities to Taoist symbols and Taoist stuff. And it's like, the one thing with Taoism But Taoism always says, if you ask a true Taoist in China, where does Taoism come from? They point up. Now, the philosophy is, are they pointing to space or are they pointing to higher dimensions? That's always the, you know, the question. But there's this interesting thing is within, when I went deeper and deeper and deeper into this, is that I started to see that everything actually came to a point. Like the meridians, which the Chinese talk about a lot, the chakras, which goes into more of the like yogic traditions, the aura, we tend to say in the West in Christianity, the Merkaba, the triangle pointing up and down, that's in Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, you find it everywhere, Tibet as well. And then the flower life, you'll find it in different places. But the ancient knowledge, or what I've seen about the ancient knowledge, they say it's all the same, that's all interconnected. Mm. We in medical side, we talk about the bones and the bones and the blood vessels and the skin. In the energy side, they talk about the meridians, the chakras, the aura, the Merkaba, the flower life or Torah field, terrigal field, and then the Dantians. And I got told that like, they're all interlaced. They're all the same thing. We sort of try to, certain people try to say they're separate, but they're actually all interconnected, you know. And what I'm seeing, or what I've seen over the last 40 years with this stuff, is that all these things, all these different philosophies and religions and other things, they're all actually interconnected. They all came from one source. Right. And that wasn't here. It was somewhere else. And hence why I always do that. Whether that's space or somewhere else, that's where it came from.
Exactly. No, really well said. And yeah, we're with us, for those of us just joining, we got Sifu Boogie. I'm glad I didn't say boogie, but we are boogieing with Sifu Boogie. And it's been very rewarding. If you have any questions for him, please super chat them so that Graham can get to them. As always, please subscribe, like, support this show in any way you can. I could surely use your help these days as I'm in this in-between worlds in Bordeaux with different things going on. But I do appreciate those of you who support this show. And it's interesting, Sifu, because, yeah, you're talking about the dragon. I was thinking, talking about Merlin and John Borman's famous, one of my favorite movies, Excalibur and Merlin. Can you see that dragon's breath? I can't do the accent. But the serpent and the dragon have been vilified in the West, except for like the Gnostics. They basically worship serpents. They would kiss them in some of their rituals. So you think it's good that this dragon serpent energy is being more accepted, because it is essential for our collective well-being, or even our personal well-being, you would say.
100%. I mean, there is some very interesting things. So I'm dyslexic, so sometimes I get a name wrong. But I think in the medical profession, you have the sword and the two serpents. The is Adusa.
Caduceus.
Right. So the interesting thing with the Caduceus. So in the East, there's two serpents that go up the sword. It's replaced by one single dragon that goes up, and that draws up now. And the Caduceus is actually it's going back to the Kundalini energy. So now in the West, we talk about Kundalini being two serpents going up, but in the East, it's a dragon, and it starts off in between the legs, and it circles up the spine, activating the Kundalini energy, the fire. The thing that's been missed, like the yin, we talk about the yin and the yang, that sword is in the East, it's the thrusting channel, the light. Now, there's an interesting thing that in Egypt, they have Taoists in Egypt, and there's a particular set of Taoists called the Jet, and they follow the light, the pillar of light. And a key part of that pillar of light is the Jedi. And the Jedi, which was used by George Lucas, was he took that name because a pillar of light is a lightsaber. The lightsaber is a pillar of light. The Jedi, the keeper of the pillar of light. And the pillar of light is the knowledge. But it's also that the knowledge, the light, comes from the galaxy, heaven, and it rains down through the spine, straight down the spine, down into the earth. And the dragon, or the serpents, if you prefer, they rise up the spine, activating the chakras along the way, and they connect in the middle, the light, and the light which is seen more as the water, and the dragon, which is seen more as the fire. When fire and water mix together, they create steam, and the steam is impenetrable, and the steam is both solid and liquid and vapor at the same time. So the idea of the sword and the serpents, or the sword and the dragon, is the fire from earth and the light from heaven come together and create harmony, Tai Chi. So it's this balance of, yes, the dragon energy is really important, but it's only as important as its complementary opposite, which is the light.
No, well said. Woo, you know your stuff. This is, yeah, great, great content. And let me bring in Graham. Graham, do you have your Tao on, or do you have a question or a remark?
I was going to say, my biggest remark here is the sequence from Leibniz goes, you know, Leibniz, he picked up he created binary logic, which then Boole used to create Boolean logic, which is the basis for our computer. So it's very easy to connect the Tao straight to modern computers and such. And I agree that reality in and of itself is not either good or evil. I subscribe to the idea that humans are what bring the good and evil touch to it, you know, with our consciousness and our choices. But those are my observations. I'm enjoying it so far. Thank you, Sifu.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, I like the analogy of a gun. You know, it's like, you know, or a gun. A gun's only harmful if you give it to somebody who's going to point it at you and shoot you. You know, it is, or another analogy, you know, a knife. A knife is good for cutting your steak. Or, you know, if you're facing an enemy, then you use it as a weapon. But it also will cut, if you're tied up, it's good to have a knife to cut the rope. So, a knife is just a tool. Everything is just a tool. The how we use it depends whether that tool is good or not. And it's, you know, life, if you do nothing with your life, then you may feel like it's a wasted life. But if then do something with your life, you know, there's a Taoist saying is that every breath is vital. So use that breath vitally, you know, do something with your breath.
Beautiful. Love it. And on a little side note, you said you were a 70s kid. What kind of music were you into? I'm working on a David Bowie biography, so I've got the first draft. So I'm just curious.
David Bowie, very much so. Grew up with David Bowie, Elton John, Rod Stewart, obviously more like a little bit more the British stuff to a degree. I used to have long hair. In the 90s, I had very long hair, and everybody thought I was a rocker because there was a saying that I ended up with a beard as well, and they say you got beard that could disappear if it's dressed in leather. So they always thought, oh, you know, you were a rocker, and it's like, well. You know, I when I was a close protection officer, when he came to the UK, I looked after Meatloaf a couple of times. But you know, and I don't mind a bit of rock and roll. But I've always been very a bit like everything else. I always go in and out of different styles of music. I go wherever the wind takes me. So is you know, I enjoy a bit of classical. I even delved into a bit of my. My dad is very much into country music, so I delved into a little bit of that. And so, yeah, I'm not easy to pin down when it comes to music.
Yeah, I'm the same way too. I'm pretty eclectic. But yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, David Bowie was very much into Tibetan Buddhism in the late 60s. He almost quit the music industry to become a monk. And, you know, his teacher, of course, said, you know, don't be like, you know, the Americans who just want to go to the mountain, you know, spiritual bypassing, like, you know, you have to involve yourself in the world, David. So it's better if you don't become a monk. He's like, all right, I'll stay a civilian.
Yeah. Well, see that, and you know, the Taoist philosophy is very much, you know, is very much like that. It's, you know, like, there's an interesting thing in the East, and especially in Taoism, there are certain people that, yes, did go up into the mountains and meditated and whatnot. And there's lots of proof and evidence of people that in Tibet, they called them the Rainbow Body Ascension, where they activated their chakras, turned into light, and disappeared. And in China, it's called Diamond Body, because if you look into a diamond, you see all the colors of the rainbow. And they turn coal into the diamond. They turn themselves into the diamond. And that's all very cool. You know, enlightenment is a cool thing. But my sages will always say, yeah, I mean, that's good. But if you just go off and ascend, it's sort of selfish, you know, because you're meant to come back. You're meant to go from the mountain back down to the earth, and spread that information, that knowledge, and raise the vibration. Because otherwise, you know, you're just being a little bit, you know, you're taking the easy route out. It's like, yeah, it's great to ascend and disappear, but you'll be back before long because, you know, because everybody else is still here. This is where the party's at least for now.
At least for now.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, it makes sense. Yeah, and Bowie, of course, talked about meditating with others and rising. And I love the idea of the diamond body, because even in Gnosticism, Neoplatonists, before you ascended, you took on a new body, and then you went traveling, like you said, traveling those astral planes and come back with the information and the healing. So it's great to see this connection. Well, like, I guess that should be the relevant one, because we can talk Taoism till the cows come home, right, Sifu? But you talked about, you know, hurting and healing. And today we live in very, I don't know, strange times. They're all strange. But the truth is, you know, depression is up, alcoholism is up. People have a lot of anxiety. So in Taoism, what are some ways in modern times that we can find ways to heal? By healing, you mean body, mind, and soul, all three levels.
Yeah, all three, because that's, you know, the Trinity, which a lot of people in certain religions, the Trinity is, well, the Trinity has always existed, and it's existed way before, even this, you know, this goes back 10,000 years. This goes back before Christianity, it goes back before Buddhism and everything, because it was, if you're right-handed, well, I don't know on the camera wise which, but the right hand and the left hand, it's very much, that is my right hand is my dominant side, this is my less dominant side, this is my masculine, this is my feminine. You bring them together to the heart, which is the Trinity, the mind, body, and spirit, the masculine, the feminine, and the sacred child. These are all important. So the three energies are always important. So the thing with the mind body, the biggest thing in Taoism, and like we sort of said before, the different ways. So you've got the barefoot doctor, they're a traveling healer nomad, and they use different medicines and qigong, energy exercise, as well as acupressure and everything else. You've got the Dragon Door Shamans. They do, again, they use different things, but they use a lot of energy work. There's many different ways to there's many ways to peel a banana. There's many ways to eat a banana. You know, there's many ways to do this. But the biggest thing is, or at least in healing, is that when you're still, and that stillness could be that, you know, like you're told to sit still as a kid and you hold all that tension in and you grow up holding that tension in. Stillness, that sort of stillness, becomes stagnation. And stagnation is dis-ease. So one of the biggest things, and you'll see me doing it a lot, especially if you're on seeing me on video, I move, I twist, I turn. When I'm not actually at home at the moment, when I'm home, I sit on a yoga ball that's on a balance ball. So I'm moving around all the time. I'm growing and flowing because running water never grows stale. So when you allow yourself to move physically, emotionally, and spiritually, you grow and you flow. And so the biggest thing, I talked about the divine masculine, the divine feminine, the sacred child, a true nature of a child is to fidget. We were always meant to fidget. We were always meant to move. And yes, you get like, you see the Zen monks are being very like still, but they've got to discharge all that stillness at some point. And that's where, you know, the Zen is about the strike or a certain move, because it gets rid of all that tension. And within the Tao, it's this whole idea of, you know, is that the flow, that wave, you breathe in, you let your body expand, you breathe out, you settle down. When you actually stop restricting yourself and start allowing yourself to be, if you're a fidgeter, fidget. If you're a wobbler, wobble. You know, if you know, and be yourself, be who, because the Tao is be your authentic self. That's what it boils down to. And so authenticity is being your truth. And a lot of illness is where we're not our truth. You know, like emotionally, you know, we're blocking ourselves, restricting ourselves. We're building up all this stagnant energy, this char. And it's things that we no longer need. So, you know, in England, you know, it's very much like, especially at the table, but in England, you know, it's not very good manners to burp or park. But in the East, you know, especially if you're eating, you burp and pop and it's considered considered amazing, especially for the chef, because the chef goes, I'm just going to put a light on. The chef goes, it's, you know, my food is clearing your stagnant energy. Right. And so, you know, so you're actually, and some people sort of like, you know, there are times, you know, I may, you know, something. It's not often that things annoy me, but it's not what annoys me. I raise my voice, I get angry. Oh, you're a seafood, why are you getting angry? I'd rather let the child out than store it inside me and create dis-ease, illness. And it's allowing yourself to find some way to discharge, allowing yourself to get it out. If you're very anxious and very stressed, a really cool exercise is looking up. When we look up, we actually drain the forebrain. The forebrain, our frontal lobe. In psychology, we know we have 60,000 to 90,000 thoughts in this brain every single day. 60,000 to 90,000 thoughts. It's what the Taoists call monkey mind, the ego. Now you get some spiritual people say, "Oh, you've got to kill the ego, destroy the ego." That's like chopping your head off. You know, it's always going to exist. It's always there. The dots and the Tai Chi symbol. The Tai Chi symbol is the ego, the monkey mind is part of it. So it's about actually learning how to use it to your benefit. So you get all stressed and anxious, look up. If you're getting really frustrated and angry, one of my friends who was nicknamed the Barefoot Doctor, he would go to a park or the woods, and he didn't have a dog, but he always had a dog lead. And it's like, why do you have a dog lead? Because he'd go to the woods. He'd have this dog lead. He'd go to the woods, especially if he was stressed or upset, and he'll go, Rolly! And he'd be calling for this dog, Rolly. And it was this sound allowed him to release his tension, release his stress. It's sort of like a primal scream. But, like, you know, if you like rock and roll, put the rock and roll music on, bang the head and shout your heart out. Release that child, because the biggest thing is that we're so scared of upsetting somebody, and we're so scared of, oh, you know, not doing this or not doing that. We're drawing all this energy in. And the Trinity, like I say, it's lots of different things. The Trinity is your thoughts, your feelings, and your physical, the actions, thoughts, feelings, and actions. So your thoughts of stress and worry or offending people starts to become emotional feelings of anxiousness and upset, or thoughts of somebody's cut you up in the car, you get angry and frustrated. If you don't release that, it can create problems in your stomach, in your liver, in your kidneys. It will become toxins, because the body, from your thoughts, you create emotional energy. That emotional energy will become physical toxins within your body. And those toxins build up and build up and build up, and they become disease. They become illness. And so, therefore, if you do not shift that illness, that will build up, and it becomes, because we see it separate. Well, a lot of time in the West, we think, oh, that's separate. My illness is separate to the way I think and feel. No, mate. No, it's all interconnected. It's all freaking one. And if you're thinking one way, you'll be feeling one way, and you'll eventually be doing one way. It will physically affect you. Change the way you think, changes the way you feel, changes your physical side. Change your physical side, it starts to change the way you feel, it will start to change the way you think. It's all interconnected. This is why I teach Qigong. I have over 40 years teaching Qigong. I've had people come up to me, say, Steve, I didn't tell you this, but I've had 20 years of PTSD. I've been depressed for 20 years. I'm going through cancer. And, you know, I've got better. My cancer's, radically healed up. The doctors are surprised. I used to have IBS, and now it's gone. How did you know? Mate, I knew diddly squat. I don't need to know. The Qigong knows you. And the Qigong is about movement, breath work, Qigong. Working with breath. When you move and breathe, it starts to make you feel better, because you're moving and you're releasing tension. When you feel better, you start to think better and you start to act better, and vice versa. It's all interconnected. Hopefully that answers your question.
Beautiful. No, perfectly said. And yeah, I couldn't agree more. As I often say, the body doesn't lie, and the body has all the store. Everything is stored in the body, and it's communicating. And I love what you said about kids, because, yeah, you and I probably grew up in times, you know, we're sitting in class and the teacher, nobody could move, or your office, nobody, you know, the society where they're just repressing. These days with my kids, if they want to fidget at the dinner table, or we're talking, they want to pace, or they're having some sort of whatever energy's coming, my wife and I are like, you do what, because again, we're allowing that flow so the kids will be healthy emotionally and physically. And of course, it reminds, we do a lot of shows on Carl Jung, and he's the one who warned in the late 1920th century, look, you're repressing all this stuff, especially in the Victorian age, you're repressing everything, and it's turning into the shadow, which comes up. You're either going to project it on others, blaming the world for your problems, or it's going to start destroying your physical health. So that's it. So yeah, suppression is deadly, wouldn't you say? That's the key.
100% is that, you know, yeah, is that that's whether you're suppressing your thoughts, you're suppressing your emotions, or you're suppressing your actions. That is not a good thing, because that will compress, and it, you know, it's creating, you know, we talk about diamond or the ascension, a diamond is compressed, like a diamond is cold, it's compressed, which is a good thing. But when you're compressing all this illness, it will, you know, like you put you put water into a bowl and put a cloth over that bowl or plastic bag over that bowl and you push, that's going to seep out the sides. Or you have the bag full of water and you squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, sooner or later the bag is going to burst. And that's you. That's your body. You know, is that, you know, if you're suppressing stuff, it will come out. It will come out either in a good way or it'll come out in a bad way, but it will come out. And so this is something I've always sort of like said is that, and within Taoism, there's a thing of, you know, your goal is to be chilled and go with the flow. But if you can't, if something's frustrating you, scream, shout, well, have a temper tantrum if you need to, but let it out. Because if you don't, worry and anger turns into stress. Stress turns into physical illness. Illness turns into your demise. So don't get worried or don't stress because it'll freaking kill you. So it's, you know, it's this understanding that, and this is what we don't have. We don't have that understanding is that, oh, why am I ill? Why is this ill? Look at your life. Look at the way you're thinking. Look at your moods. You know, it's, you know, we like to blame the outside, but it actually all comes from within.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we treat the symptoms instead of going deeper, or as you said, what you suppress persists. It's very simple. But what about things like, and when you work with clients or in Taoism, obviously we're talking about stress and not repressing, but what about trauma? Because sometimes as children, we're not allowed to heal. These wounds happen. There's not a system, or unfortunately they happen in secret, or they happen in systems like school where we're traumatized or bullied, or tragedy and our parents aren't able to communicate. So we have, everybody has some trauma. How do and that trauma manifests in our health 20 years, 30 years?
100%.
How do you deal with it? How do you bring it out?
Well, I mean, I'm not myself. My story is, like I said, and I sort of skimmed over, is that, you know, I was bullied at school. But that bullying led to me, like, from around about 10 onwards, my mum and dad split up when I was about, when I was six, they divorced when I was about nine. And around about 11 to about 14, I tried to commit suicide. You know, hated this world, hated the way things were. And, you know, that energy was there. Unfortunately, by then I started learning Qigong and learning the exercises, and it was learning to redirect stuff and learning how, you know, is the whole idea of the Qigong is that you take that tension that's in your body and you learn to manipulate it and relax it and learn to turn it from one thing to another. It's like alchemy, learning to turn char into qi. Right. Now, the thing that I think the biggest thing is that, you know, like if you, you know, well, what's your passion in life? You love fishing, fish. If you love running, run. If you love fixing cars, fix cars. Because you know what all of those are? They're meditations. Now, people go, what? What? And it's like, no, you know, like we think meditation is sitting there going, hovering, you know, 3 foot off the ground on the mountain. And it's like, well, that's a meditation, pretty cool one. It's not the only meditation. And the thing is that, you know, with, like I've said, over the years, I've had lots of people who had child traumas and all the like military guys that came to me, like gone through, you know, stuff in war and whatnot, and they don't want to talk about it, they didn't talk about it, but by doing their passion or learning Qigong and learning a way to redirect that energy, you can, you know, psychology is a great thing and talking is a great thing, but sometimes you don't have to talk with this. You can talk for your body, you can talk through movement. You know, is that one of the like things I learned is like, is going and swimming, going and dancing, going and, like I say, do a passion and really let yourself go in that passion. Really, you know, and that will help whatever it is. People think, no, but I've got to tell somebody. You'll tell somebody when you're ready. And you may never be ready, but I've seen so many people helped just, and it doesn't have to be Qigong. It doesn't have to be what I do. But I say, what's your passion? Go and do that. And live your passion, because living your passion, or as much as you possibly can, is going to help release trauma. It's going to help you get through those things. Yes, it's good to talk, and yes, it's good to express yourself, but it's also good to let that shite go. And it's also good just to do whatever, you know, you're really passionate about, because there's different ways of saying it, but there's an Eastern philosophy of saying that passion leads to your ascension. Passion leads to your divine purpose. Whatever you're passionate about, even if it's tiddlywinks or noughts and crosses, whatever you're passionate about will lead you to your health and your well-being. And like I say, I can teach you 1,000 qigongs. I know 1,000 qigongs. I can teach you lots of qigongs. And if that works for you, awesome. But honestly, find what you love and keep doing that. And that will help. It will do it without having to try to do it, because happiness, epigenetics, there's a science called epigenetics, and it's how we think and feel affects our physical health. So what epigenetics, and it's on the fringes in the medical understanding, but there's more and more evidence showing that you being happy heals you. So you want to be healed, you want to get better, you want to release your trauma, go and do something you freaking enjoy and keep doing it.
Amen on that one. Yeah, there's a saying in the Gospel of Thomas in the Nag Hammadi Library. How do you recognize the God within? It says a movement and a meditation. So it's kind of, these ancients were working with the same ideas, but like you said, they just had different cultures and like, but the mystics, they knew these things. And Graham, do you have a question or a remark?
I was going to say, I'm sort of in that all things in balance, you know, all things in moderation, including moderation. And there's a time for kids to not fidget, too. I think it's important for, as they grow up, before they become adults, for children to learn some self-awareness and self-control. It's not that they have to do it all the time. It's that they need to have that as part of their toolkit in order to do it when it's appropriate. Okay.
Oh, 100%. You know, it's, well, some people think I never shut up. And then I can then go, okay, and I don't talk for 10 minutes. So, you know, it's about discipline. But it's when, like you said, the key word, moderation, is that, you know, if it's pushed too much one way, it can become an issue. You know, rather than being a good thing, it becomes a bad thing. So, you know, and a good example is like, you know, why can't we have Christmas every day? Well, if Christmas is every day, after about 3 months of it, you get bored. So, you know, it's the whole idea of everything's about moderation, everything's about balance. So you're right, you know, you are in actual fact, in Qigong, there's a system called Jamjong, which means to stand like a tree. And in that stillness is that you're still on the outside, but on the inside, you're breathing, expanding, and contracting. So you're still moving slightly, and you're still allowing your blood to flow. So, yeah, even within stillness, there's movement. You know, a mountain moves. You just don't see it, but it's moving. The atoms within the mountain are moving. There are creatures within the mountain moving. You know, so, you know, is stillness and movement are just two sides of the same coin.
Well said. Yes. People don't realize stillness is its own skill. Absolutely. Thank you.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's where I sit down and meditate, and that's where I find my stillness, and I find a version of me that I really enjoy, just out there doing nothing. I mean, people always say, oh, I want to know myself. I want to know myself. I said, well, the ultimate form of self-knowledge is you're just sitting down with your breath. It's you and you, nobody else. And you're just sort of observing your thoughts and your emotions, and you're like, oh, this is who I am. I'm just going to observe, right? I'm just going to see. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, the biggest thing is that, yeah, too many people think it's something on the outside. You know, we focus too much on the outside, or you know, You know, I love the social media, you know, to a degree, but there's lots, you know, there's lots of pampering and postulation and oh, I'm this and oh, I'm that and oh, I'm, and it's like, you know, just be you, just be freaking you.
And, yeah, and you're and the stop. One who got offended. No, it's you. It comes from you. You're the one. The anger comes from you.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I mean, I've done a podcast myself in the past, and you know, I've had like haters, and I love haters. Haters tell me I'm doing something right. You know, if I triggered something, it means I'm doing something right. You know, my energy is disturbing their equilibrium. You know, because if they were that equal, if they were that balanced, they wouldn't be disturbed at all. They wouldn't be upset. So it's, you know, it's a good thing. So, yeah, it's yeah, looking within, you are the biggest Sifu you'll find. You know, it's like, and Sifu just means, you know, like some people call it master, and it's like, it's not its original translation. It means it's more like father guide or parent guide. It's, and Bruce Lee said it best. It's like a finger pointing towards the moon. Do not look at the finger because you'll miss all that heavenly glory. You know, it's just a guide. It's just showing you the glory of the way.
I agree. Unfortunately, on social media, it's not even people pointing at the moon, but people have their fingers up their arses. I think it's like, start there. Take the finger out. Start.
No, so, it's true. It is true.
Yeah, unfortunately. And another question, obviously, in the East, ancestor war. Working with your ancestors and worship is essential. It should be more. I've talked a lot about on this podcast, the West needs to bring back their ancestors. They haven't gone anywhere. They're here. You talk about epigenetics, trauma and all that does get passed down to us as we pass it down to our children. So ancestors is essential. You would agree? And do you work with ancestors or teach or guide people to get acquainted with their ancestors?
Yeah, well, you know, because your ancestors, you know, you don't have to look too far. Your ancestors are yesterday. You know, your the knowledge, everything that is makes you who you are is the knowledge of the ancestors, is your ancestral heritage, let alone, you know, your family or everything you come about. But, yeah, the ancestors are all around you, and that information is really important. But there's also an interesting one about like the higher selves, like when people talk about, you know, their higher self. And it's through the Dragon Dog Shaman. When I learned about the Dragon Dog Shaman, I learned there's a thing called folding, which still be like remote viewing, which is that the past, the present, the future is all happening all at once. So you can fold a situation and go to that place. And I went back to my childhood, like I said, like my family broke up when I was 6 years old. And I suddenly realized that when I was six, there was an energy around me that felt familiar, but I didn't quite understood. And it's always been there. And I suddenly realized that was me, that was me in the future, coming back to the past, looking at me saying, you're going to make it, you're going to be fine. So your ancestors are you. You know, like, so you should honor them because they're you, and your future selves, you know, your angels, your higher selves, they're also you. It's all freaking you. You know, the whole, in, you know, within Taoism, and in the Gnostics as well, it's all one. Everything is one, that everything is you. So, yes, you should have respect for the past. You should have respect for the ancestors because they're why you are where you are now. And you're also the ancestor, so you should be respectful yourself because you're going to create the future or not.
Exactly. Yeah, and you came dressed pretty cool, and we've been joking around, all of us here, and some people might say, What's going on? He should be wearing these robes and have a Pooba hat, and this is serious business, and we should not joke around and honor this mysticism. So what do you say to that? Should we have a sense of humor?
I think, well, that goes for me, that goes to the Trinity and the Sacred Child. Is I mean, there are times, don't get me wrong, there are times that I will have Eastern attire on because I like it. I think it's cool and I like it. But, you know, if you're a first aider, does that mean you always have to wear a badge? Or can you be a first aider without wearing a badge, without wearing a name print, saying you're first? Or if you're a chef, do you always have to wear the hat? Or can you just be a chef in whatever you are? And within Taoism, there's a very important saying that says, never take yourself or anybody else too seriously, because you go into monkey mind too much. You go into, I'm important and everything I say should be taken seriously. And it's like, you know, come on, dude, you know, chill up and relax. And, you know, it's like, if what I'm saying is important, it'll be important whether I'm in a Spriggan Miss t-shirt or whether I'm wearing a Tai Chi uniform. It doesn't matter, you know. The fact that I was running late and I still got this on, it was obviously meant to be. It's a cool band called Spring and Mist. They're sort of a pagan rock band. You might like them. I don't know. You have to look it up. But they use the three ones. They use the dots. And you know, it's always a good thing. It's like the Trinity. And it's, yeah, I mean, the thing is that I respect this stuff and I love this stuff. I'm very passionate about this stuff. So that's me taking it serious. But does that mean I should, you know, not have fun? Well, then I'm not the Taoist you're looking for. You're not the droid you're looking for. I'm not the Taoist you're looking for. Because for me, it's about, you know, chilling out and enjoying life. That's what it's all about.
Agreed. And have you ever been accused of terrible notion of appropriating? It's like, why are you appropriating these traditions? They're not for you. Blah, blah, blah.
So it's like, are we not on this planet? Are we not human? You know, is that we're on the same earth? And I mean, if you believe in reincarnation and, you know, Christianity originally had reincarnation within it, within the information it was taken out in the 16th century, you look into quantum physics in 1974, that when they were looking at the atom, they discovered that the 99.999% of the atom is not empty space, but actually a sort of like an energetic fluid they called the quantum field, which connects everything with everything else, which meant straight away they basically said that psychic abilities is real, reincarnation is real, but we're all interconnected. So how can I appropriate what's mine, what I am part of? You know, I am part of this planet. I am part of this reality. And if you believe in reincarnation, how do you know what I was last lifetime, last 1,000 lifetimes? Because you could be everything. In Taoism, there is no, you know, you are everything. You've been everything. Will be everything. Everything from an atom all the way up to a galaxy. Everything is conscious. You know, both Nikola Tesla said that. Einstein also agreed with it. He said it slightly different way. He missed out the conscious bit and he just said energy can't be destroyed. It can only be transformed and transferred. It was Nikola Tesla who said energy is conscious and consciousness can't be destroyed. It can only be transformed and transferred. And I think it's interesting, this whole reappropriation. When you look into that, where does that come from? It's a manipulation. It's people trying to keep things separate, keep things us and them. You know, is that, you know, like you put a load of children together as children, children will play with each other, whatever color they are, whoever they are. It's only adults that start to try to muck that up. But hey, what do I know?
No, it's well said. And when your soul calls you, like you said, if it calls you to go fishing or start doing Sufism or ceremonial magic or Japanese theater, you do it. It's your soul's call. And again, I know I'm bringing up David Bowie again, but he got accused of appropriating and he changed so much. And one time they asked, he said, you know, I have changed and had so many personas. I forgot that I started out as an overweight Korean woman. He forgot. It was the joke, like he didn't even know who he was before, and he was happy with all his identity. So it's anyway, but just a little.
I just want to quickly say, you know, it's an interesting thing. You go into genetics, and when you start looking at your genetics, you know, like the whole DNA thing, it's like so many people is, you know, they're obvious things, but, you know, they find things that they didn't expect within their genetics, you know, and so who's to say what my genetics is? Who's to say that my genetics isn't already Chinese, isn't already this, you know, let alone the fact that I was drawn to it. And if you're drawn to it, you're meant to be part of it. So other ways, you know, like don't do anything. Don't do anything outside your box, outside your house, because otherwise, you know, how do you know it's yours? It's all yours. If you like it, it's yours. It's meant to be yours.
No, exactly. And really well said. And Bora, as we get to the end, if people want to work with you, do you work with people physically or can you work with them online? Some people are asking on the chat.
Well, yes, I do. I do both. I am in England and I do work physically. I actually do massage and as well as Qigong Tai Chi. But ironically, ever since about 2008, I've been online and I actually have a lot of students in the States, Australia, even in the East, actually. And so I do have a brand new website, which I can't remember. It will be in the links, but I can't remember its name. But if you go onto any of the social sites and put in SIFUBOGGIE, you will find me there. And then go to the profile, you will find my link to my stand store, which is like my business card, and it will take you to the Shundao School. Shun is my family system, or my Sifu's family system. Shun is their name, but Shun also means to flow or to fold. So Dao means the way, so it's the flowing way. And so the Shundao School, it's my tip of the hat. If I wore a hat, it's my tip of the hat to my teachers, to my Sifu's, where I teach lots of different things, all different styles. But they're all balanced, you know, they're all incorporating the mind, the body, the spirit. They're all incorporating the masculine, the feminine, the sacred child. And they got me in it. So they've always got fun. They, you know,
no doubt. And you do teach the famous Wu Wei, doing without doing, right? That's what I'm.
Yeah. Well, and what the interesting thing of the Wu Wei very quickly is that sure. It's more like a dynamo. You know, the old dynamos, you stack a dynamo and you just push one and it top over another one and another one and another one and another one. And eventually you could start with dominoes that big and eventually have dominoes the size of a house. And it's the momentum that builds up. So that's saying the Wu Wei, do little and everything's done. Sometimes people say do nothing. And it's not about do nothing. It's about just the right action. You want to do the right movement and the right action. And even within the Japanese, in shiatsu, which is Japanese massage, there's a style of shiatsu where they just push you one point. They push you one point and it triggers a domino effect where everything ripples and everything changes. A little bit like the whole butterfly, the butterfly across too. Butterfly flaps its wings in one place and it causes a tornado somewhere else. So it's all about the right action, the right movement at the right time.
Yeah, or my son, he does jiu-jitsu, and I watch him, and it's all about use their energy against them and don't use your own energy against you, your own mass against yourself. Flow.
Oh, I understand, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
we call jiu-jitsu murder yoga.
Oh yeah, it does. And it's cousin. You go from like you got the jiu-jitsu is more the martial side, you've got judo, which is right. More like the defense side or the manipulation side. But it was a judo jiu-jitsu master that went to China and studied forms of qigong. Because qigong is like the grandpa. A lot of people have heard of Tai Chi. And Tai Chi is like the grandson of Qigong. And there's a style called Ba Kwa, which means the eight trigrams, the circle. And Aikido, which is a Japanese form, it is the art of flowing and twisting and bending. And it was a jiu-jitsu and judo master who went to China, studied the arts of Qigong and studied the arts of the Tao, and came back with Aikido, the flowing way. And it's all about the turning and twisting and using your opponent's energy against you. But your opponent, you know, you can also, it's using the force against itself. So something's coming to, you know, you get in a bad day, you flip it, find a way to change it, you know, turn that frown upside down.
Yeah, the basics are sometimes the most profound forms of wisdom. So, yeah, I would agree. Well, we are getting to the end. Graham, do you have any final question or remark?
Yeah, I was going to sit there and say your comment about David Bowie and the Korea woman reminded me of a clip I saw of Joe Biden where he said about how he was so proud of being the first black female vice president.
Yeah, I think there were two different reasons. David Bowie was being his usual bullshitter, which he was great. I think Biden was in a higher plane, Graham.
Oh, he wasn't making a joke off of Bowie. Okay. Yeah, my bad. No, I was going to say, as far as, you know, final words here for me is Sifu, I think, would agree with me where your goal is to be yourself. But for me, it's to be a better self, a better me today than I was yesterday. And if not, well, there's tomorrow. I got another shot. Egg.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that 100%. You know, while you're still alive, it ain't over. You know, you can always try tomorrow. And, you know, that's the point. So there's always another, there's always tomorrow.
Yeah, and you would say, Sifu, everybody has a purpose, a reason, something positive to give to the world. So don't give up. That's cosmic law. We're here for a reason, and that's a good reason.
And you know, yeah, it's nobody to say who your reason is. And sometimes you don't realize your reason until it happens. I mean, you know, I love the saying, it became a Christian saying as well, but it goes, well, as far as I know, it goes from the East. It's like, teach a man, give a man a fish, and you'll feed him for a day. No. Teach a man to fish, and you'll feed him for a lifetime. So maybe your job is to teach somebody the fish, and maybe you'll teach the best fisherman in the world. You know, your purpose is whatever it is, but it's not, you know, don't think it's small. Don't think it's insignificant. It's that you're here because you're meant to be here. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Exactly. Well said. Awesome. Well, we are at the end of this wonderful conversation. Good words in the chat. As always, again, please support Aeon Byte in any way you can. Help grow this Red Pill Cafeteria. I could surely use your support these days. And yes, the show, we have Sifu's links in the show notes, whether you're listening on a podcast or YouTube or Rumble or any of those platforms. So check his work out. It's excellent. He's got the whole arsenal in videos and lessons and all that stuff. But first I will say, Graham, thanks for keeping us company.
Always my pleasure, and it was great learning from Sifu. I appreciate it. Thank you, Sifu.
Yes.
Thank you, Greg.
Yes, Sifu, really enjoyed our conversation. Good luck with everything, and hopefully we will talk sooner rather than later. But again, thanks for coming on the show.
You're more than welcome. Always happy to come back another time. Thank you.
Thank you. And for everybody else, yeah, enjoy the rest of your Mercury day. Enjoy the rest of the week. If you're somewhere in the northern parts like I am, stay warm and stay alert and stay awake. All right, everybody, thank you and take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.